Dan, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, we're kind of debating what has gone wrong thus far. And I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and ask you about Justin Fields. I'm not going to ask you about Jaden Daniels. I'm only concerned with the Bears, but why did they throw the ball so much? What the hell was that?
I was bothered by it in the first half, Molly, just knowing what we knew going into that game and the need to not only try to establish the run, but to stick to it if it wasn't working. And I think it was late in the first half. They were up at like 24 pass attempts and 18 runs. And that's just not what you wanted going into that game. And obviously in the second half, when you're chasing and you're in a lot of those two-minute operation situations, your passing numbers are going to go way up and the numbers are going to look a little bit inflated. But even early in the game, there just wasn't the success with it. There wasn't the dedication to it. They haven't been able to get it unlocked. And it better come soon, because it's putting a little bit too much pressure on your rookie quarterback too soon in his career to try to carry this load.
So, Dan, you know that I agree with that, and I think everybody understands the need to run the football. My question would be, as you think about this more, is why everybody is so surprised. The Bears talked all offseason about, when they talk about their offense, all the weapons that they have and the wide receiving trio, when they bring in Caleb Williams with his arm talent and his generational ability, all those things. And then we're surprised, and I'm caught myself into this too. It's like, they need to run the ball. Why aren't they running the ball better? Well, they never really gave us the idea that they would, did they? Shane Waldron came from Seattle because, why did he leave there? Because he didn't run the ball enough. I wonder if we're all victims of being duped in the offseason into thinking that the Bears are going to be something they're not.
Well, I don't think anyone was expecting them to be a team that was going to run it 50 times a game and have like some 1980 style offense here. But you have to have balance. You have to have an ability to unlock some things in your play action game, an ability to get that run going in a way that makes everyone feel the rhythm early in a game. And they haven't got that done yet. I think one of the answers that struck me from Caleb Williams at the end of his post-game press conference on Sunday afternoon was him just talking about the need to adapt. And then along with that, I think he used the phrase, the need for constant communication. And I hope he's at the forefront of that, encouraging his coaches, encouraging his teammates to be very vocal about what they want in this troubleshooting effort, because we all can acknowledge troubleshooting is necessary. And hopefully they are on that same page as they progress into this week. Because guys, this Rams defense that they're about to face, not that good either. They can be exploited pretty easily as well. And so you better just be on top of it so that you put yourself in position to succeed on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I mean, they ran for 63 yards. They played a team that was giving up 234 yards a game on average, and they ran for 63 yards. And I guess it wasn't just that they ran for 63 yards. When I lost my book I was keeping when I threw it in the air and tossed my pen across the room was when they lined up at the line of scrimmage and they handed off to DJ Moore on an end around and lost 4 yards or something. I couldn't believe it. You know, you run the ball down their throat. How hard is that? That is what they can't defend. And by the way, DeForest Buckner is out of the game.
Yeah.
It just made zero sense.
And that's why Sunday's loss stung the way that it did, because that you were staring at a game that was right there in front of you. You know, you're playing an opponent that was probably inferior talent-wise. They were missing one of the best defensive players. They had a young quarterback, you know, who's got about 6 or 7 starts of experience, who gave you 2 gifts. And you somehow walked out of there with a loss. And you walked into halftime, and David and I have talked about this extensively since Sunday afternoon, 0 points at halftime, despite the way you moved the football, unforgivable. And that stuff comes back to bite you, and it comes back to haunt you, and you're just hopeful that a loss like that can be made up somewhere along the line with a win that you know, you play above your head and you beat a superior opponent. Because if not, for a team that's going to be kind of on that fence of being in the wild card chase, all year, if things go well, you're going to be really, really regretful of some of the opportunities you let slip away.
All right, Dan, you're good at putting things into perspective and providing some context here. So obviously we're in the midst of Justin Fields and the Steelers starting 3-0. Jaden Daniels realistically has outplayed the quarterback chosen before him in the draft. And those comparisons to Caleb Williams can get loud in a football city like Chicago, and certainly at a place like Hallis Hall. What effect, if any, will that have on Caleb Williams? What do you expect to hear from the quarterback when he talks today? And will you ask him about this effect on his rookie season?
About Jaden Daniels and Justin Fields?
Yes.
No, there's no chance I'll ask him about that. It is irrelevant to Caleb Williams and his growth process. It's a great thing for national pundits to get on TV every morning while you're eating breakfast and shout at each other about the regret the Bears should have. Caleb Williams' flight for takeoff is right on schedule. He's playing well for a guy who just played his first regular season game 17 days ago. You're seeing progress in the way he processes, the way he's acclimating to the speed of what he's seeing from opposing defenses. I have very few worries that he is going to be the major problem of the Chicago Bears football team this season or beyond. It's September. Like, let's revisit some of these Jaden Daniels, Justin Fields conversations in mid-November and see where everybody's at when the sample size is larger and we're not all sort of playing the prisoner of the moment game of reacting to grand levels on what just happened this past Sunday. Accumulate a whole bunch of games and sample size and then evaluate it side by side and take it from there. But I don't know. Some of that conversation, David, to me is just silly.
We had a long conversation yesterday with Dave Wannstedt, and he made a point that I thought was an excellent one. He talked about some of the running backs that he's been around and how you love to get those guys lathered up. And the more lathered up they get, the better they are. And it made me wonder why Khalil Herbert was their short yardage guy. Is that because of some package of plays they plan on running? Roschon Johnson had come into the game and he got them a first down to get to that point. Why not let him run at the goal line? He's already been in the game. He's already bruised up a little bit. He's already going downhill. What was the point of switching out running backs? And we won't even get to the fourth down play because that was horrible. But I'm just curious, why not line up and try to beat them, you know, the old Wilson enema, right down their throats with a guy that's in the game that just got a first down?
Right. And to your point, Molly, Roschon was the guy that had run with the sort of play style that you're seeking. It's just that tenacious, physical running style that you feel. And then when you get a four-yard run or a six-yard run and you see the way he's running the football, it gives your lineman a little energy. It gives your offense a little juice. And all of a sudden, you're able to go there. I think they got trapped down there in the low red zone of trying to find looks, right? You know, something that they could do to exploit the Colts defense, where I'm a big advocate of just have something that you do really well. And no matter what defense they play against you, you know that you're going to do it better than them, particularly when you're at the one-yard line. We're talking about getting 1 yard. You better have something in your playbook that isn't dependent on what the opposing defense plays. You know, like, just do something really well. I mean, run play action there. Boot Caleb out to the right and give him a read where he's either throwing to a wide open tight end in the flat or he's running in for a touchdown. But just do something other than a pistol formation where the ball is going to your tailback, you know, 10, 11 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he's trying to catch it when four of your linemen are already on the ground and there's, five defenders corralling around him. I mean, it's not going to work. And so, like, find that play style. I'd be surprised that they didn't get Roschon a little more run this week because I think he was encouraging with the extended action he did have. But to your point about what Dave said about getting the lather, these backs have to feel a rhythm in the game. They have to feel involved. And so you have to figure that out. That's Shane Waldron, and it's by extension Matt Eberflus allowing that message to get through.
Dan, against the Texans, there were two really questionable challenges by Matt Eberflus. Against the Colts, he burned a timeout because he wasn't ready to go for two or call for the two-point conversion. Because of those two things back-to-back happening in losses, what has it done to maybe your view of how well Matt Eberflus can multitask and manage the game on Sundays?
No, I mean, it's heightened the scrutiny on whether your head coach has the ability to handle the game operation in a successful manner. I mean, we talked about this division and you talk about the coaches that are in this division and what each one of those guys brings, from Kevin O'Connell to Dan Campbell to Matt LaFleur. And so you want Matt to be more than a guy that can call a good defense for you. You want him to be a guy that can position his offensive coordinator to put together a successful game plan, that can handle some of the twists and turns within a game. And that error on Sunday after the touchdown is, I mean, that's, inexcusable. That's just something that can't happen. They didn't score a 58-yard touchdown there. It was from the 1-yard line. You know, those conversations should have been happening for 3, 4, 5 plays in advance about, okay, not only we're going for two here, but here's the play we're going to have dialed up once we score. And so those type of operational errors, particularly for a team that doesn't have a real wide margin for error but does have playoff aspirations, inexcusable. And they have to be put under the microscope, and they have to be talked about that way.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy. We'll be listening to the Take the North podcast.
Thanks, Dan. Talk to you later.
Looking for a cheerful week next week. Talk to you.
All right.
Yeah, we'll be much happier. That's guaranteed.